Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Hello, Cleaning Nation. It is so good to be with you once again. Welcome to the place that you will find everything you need to get back the life that you wanted and the cleaning company that you deserve. If you want to be a guest on the show, if you've got questions for me, if you want to hire me to speak at your next event, if you've got some sort of rude comment that we have to hear, all of those things, not too rude because we love Natalie, so moderately rude, you can email her at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com or just give us a call, 480-648-5149. Do it now. Our favorite part of the day is when we hear from you, Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with Jennifer Bulkley from Advantage Cleaning Services. Advantage has been serving the upstate New York area with commercial cleaning services since 2008. If any of this sounds familiar, it is because her husband was just on last episode. We had such a cool conversation. He mentioned that he and his wife work together. And in that I love having insane people on the show, I said, well, cripes, if she's willing to work with this guy for, you know, 8 hours a day straight, we need to talk with her as well. So we are going to get the female perspective. So all of you that work together with your spouse, this is an awesome opportunity for you to check out how other people are doing it. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Yes, hello. Good to be here.
Good to have you. So first, before we get started, how did you, I asked you this off air, but it was such a cute story. I wanted to get it for the audience. How did you get a hold of Cleaning Nation? Did you find it and beat up your husband till he listened, or did he find it and share it with you? How did that come together?
No, just the opposite. So he stumbled across you, kind of doing market research in our industry, started listening to some of your podcasts, and then quickly turned it over to me. You know, you've got to listen to this guy. He's just full of really good advice, and it's really fun because people call in and listen, and, you know, they have their own problems and issues, and he kind of works through it with them, and, you know, that way the product is that you get all that great advice that he's giving others. So we started listening to it in the vehicle anytime we went anywhere. We would plug in the aux cord and start listening to the podcast, and then we'd have our own discussions afterwards, and a lot of the information we have definitely used, so it's been really, really helpful, and I'm super glad that he discovered you.
Yeah, funny thing about the show, it is 100% worthless if you don't put into action any of the stuff that you hear. So I love, my favorite people in the world are not listeners, but people that listen not just to this show, but any feedback and actually take action. So I love, I love that. And you'd mentioned that you've got kids in the car with you that are presumably not interested in learning how to grow a cleaning company.
Yeah, they roll their eyes and complain every time we put it on. But now they've sort of gotten used to the routine, and they sort of just sometimes they'll plug in their own headphones and listen to music on their own device, or they're stuck there listening to it. And here and there, it's actually sunk in because every now and then they'll say something, and it actually is in relation to our business, and we can hear and tell that they've been paying attention a little bit to the podcast, even though it's not their choice, which is kind of funny.
I will die a happy man the day that your kids come to you. Go, Mom, I've been looking at the website copy and notice it's a little us-centric. Can we make it more about our customer? I've got some revisions. I'd like, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping one out of the five kids will maybe want to take over the business someday.
Oh, good Lord. Well, if it's you and your husband and five kids, that's like a third of the listeners right there in one car. I didn't know. I might have to send you guys a birthday gift or something. All right. Well, fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing the story. And B, I'm so glad that you're getting value from the show. That said, let's keep the value train rolling. How can I help you today, young lady?
All right. So in my company, I pretty much am the one that does all of the sales. So my question is sales related, and it's a two-part question. So we've been really gearing our marketing dollars towards attaining medical facility commercial cleaning. And the biggest problem we're sort of running into is, Mike, who do you think are the best decision makers in these facilities to go after overall? Would it be to go right to the CEO or the COO? And then additionally to that, what strategies you know, or advice do you have that would work best to get in front of those decision makers and get past the pesky gatekeepers?
All right. So that might have been a 7-part question, but luckily I talk real fast, so I think we get it done. First of all, I've got to tell you, nice job in the niche. I'm constantly beating my chest, and I think Laredo, your husband, who's on last episode, and we'll link to that in this episode. I'll try and link to this episode and that, so everyone can hear all the bulkly that they want.
Right.
Anyway, I love the fact that you're doing the niche, and he had mentioned that in the last episode, and he'd also mentioned that you guys had started doing carpet cleaning and windows and buffing shoes, and okay, I made up one of those, but
certainly done it all.
Yeah, just everything. And again, like so many of my clients, you know, you went through X amount of years of getting beat over the head with this doesn't work. It's so much effort and not a lot of return on that effort, and it will just choke the growth of your company. But I know it seems counterintuitive, right? You think the more things that I do, the faster I can grow. And the reason I'm hitting on this so hard is I'm constantly coaching my private clients on doing this and trying to save them those 5 years. And people listen to varying degrees of, no, I want to get beat up for 6 months before I'll listen, or a year or 5 years. So I just wanted to highlight for everybody out there, you can pay me to beat you up. You can let life beat you up, or you can just listen to the wise stories of the Bulkleys and go, you know what? I'm going to skip all that headache altogether and just start niching now and not try to be everything to everybody and just trust that people have gone through this. Experience says, is contrary to popular belief as it sounds, I will get further, faster niching as opposed to everything to everybody. Is that fair, Jennifer? Am I putting words in your mouth?
Nope, that's exactly true.
Okay, so I love I see two steps. First, you guys said enough with the residential and the this and the that. We're just going to be commercial. Big first step. And then you guys are quick learners. Yep. So eventually you said, well, hey, we'll still take other customers, right? I'm sure if I called you with a lawyer's office and wanted you to clean it, you'd probably take me up on that, but you're going to put all of your marketing efforts just on one niche, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so I love, you're already, gosh dang it, 80% further ahead of your competition. So nice job on niching, not just down to commercial, which isn't really a niche, it's just a business model, but actually picking a niche of medical. Second, I love the question that you're asking in terms of, it shows you're on the right track in terms of who is the right person to talk to. So that's all the good news. The bad news is for me to really walk through that with you in your market, in your niche, in today's, you know, today, that would be an offline conversation that would take an hour. So we can't cover that in depth right now, but I can walk through a process of how you would figure that out, which will be a little quicker and give some value to Clean Nation as well. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. So first and foremost, we're always going to start at the same place, no matter what question around how do I get more customers to come to me or how do I just get more customers? The question we're always going to start is, well, who's your customer? And you've done a good job of going, it's people that manage or make the decisions for janitorial services in medical facilities, correct?
Correct.
Okay, cool. So I wish I could just go, oh yeah, that's always the chief this or the head staff of this or the CEO or whatever, but that's just not the case. So the good news is what you're going to need to do to get your marketing to work will answer this question as well. So the first thing you need to do is cover two types of information on these individuals. You need the demographics and the psychographics. And I think I first heard about this in the E-Myth, and I'll try to link to that in the show notes page as well. Demographics we're probably all familiar with, and that would cover the question that you have, which is what is their job title? And there's probably not 17, but there's probably more than one. So you might have to know that in the medical facilities, up to 10,000 square feet or up to 5 docs or whatever kind of metric makes sense in your universe, it will be the facilities manager. But if they're over this amount of square feet or over this amount of employees or docs, now they've got a chief operations officer. And then if it's really small, it might just be the CEO or the one doc. So first and foremost, I'd recognize that you're probably not looking for one job title. You're looking for hopefully no more than 2 or 3. Is that a fair start?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Cool. And once you've got that, which is kind of the first part, we need much more information. Are they male or female? Are they old or young? Do they have kids? Are they married? Is this job important to them? Are they retired and doing it for fun? Are they related to one of the doctors? Are they, where do they hang out? What kind of magazines do they read? So actually I'm moving into psychographics. So the demographics, we need all of that. What's their income? Is this job important? Are they dual income? Did they go to college? Are they local, old, young, retired, semi-retired, not retired, kids in the house, not in the house, single or married? That kind of just demographic stuff is where you start. The second part is far more important, or equally important at least, is the psychographics. And that gets into what's important to them. What magazines do they read? What do they do in their spare time? Where do they hang out? Who are their friends? What's important to them? Hillary or Trump? You know, what causes do they give to, right? Do they donate money? Were they in the military? How do they feel about that? All sorts of cool stuff. So that's the first step, right? Not just to expand your search from what is your title to who are you really as a person and what's important to you. And I'm assuming your next question is going to be, great, jerk, how do I do that? Fair?
Yeah, fair.
Okay. There's really two ways to do it. One is kind of you pay other people for their research, which is going to be less specific, right? What town do you get? You guys are upstate New York, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm guessing there is no research on all that information for this position in upstate New York, right? That doesn't exist. You're going to have to create it. And I'll talk about how to do that in a second. The next way is there probably is already collaborative research on that job title nationwide. So you can, some of that will be available free online. Some of it you'll have to pay for, but you can definitely get lists and data and mostly demographics. There's going to be very little psychographic data on these people, but that's where you start, is either paid or free research that other people have done on that type of person nationwide. And keep in mind, that person in upstate New York is going to be different than that person in San Francisco or Phoenix or Seattle, but it'll still give you a baseline. So that's where I'd start with, to just kind of get an idea of they're older, they're younger, they're male, they're female, they're married, they're not, those kinds of things. That's the easy work. The hard work comes in when you've got to get the psychographic data and specify it down to Albany, New York. And there's good news and bad news about that. The bad news is it's a lot of dang work, right? It sounds a lot like work because it is work. And I wish I could tell you, oh, it's easy and magical, but it's not. It's hard work and it's boring work and it's tedious work. That's the bad news. That bad news ties into the good news. The good news is, because it's boring and tedious, no one else in your market will do this. I promise. I give this coaching. If you do what I'm going to tell you to do, you will have the only research in the world for Albany, New York, for that group of people, right? And it will be extremely valuable to your company. And your competitors will not have it. And they won't be able to compete with you, because you're going to be having conversations with them around what keeps them up at night and which college their kids are going to, if that's important, or how much you hate Trump and love Hillary, or love Hillary and hate Trump, or whatever the case may be, that the other people won't be able to have conversations around. They're just going to go, listen, I clean a gym and a restaurant and somebody's home and I'm cheaper than the next guy and I won't steal from you. That's their conversation. You're going to be having real conversations around what's important to them. So how you do that is hard work. And what that looks like is just asking them. There's a lot of ways that you can do that. And I'm going to give you three or four to get you started. First, you go one-on-one surveys where you just talk to them and say, hey, can I get a couple minutes of your time? We specialize in this thing. This is not a sales call. You can't even buy anything from me if you want. I just want to know more about you. Not you and your cleaning. You can talk about that, but more you personally. What keeps you, like I said, keeps you up at night? What are you passionate about? What are you fired at? When you go home tonight, what are you most looking forward to do this month, this year? What are you least looking forward to? Getting all that stuff. The cool thing is, if you can have a dozen of those conversations, which isn't easy, right? Setting them up, people, they're not that interested or whatever, so it's going to take work. But if you have a dozen of those conversations, a couple things are going to happen. First, you will know that market better than any human being in your market. Fair?
Yeah.
Second, I promise you, a third of them are going to ask you to bid. You don't sell anything. Please do not go in trying to sell something. The whole thing blows up. You are just going in to understand who they are and ask questions and listen. That's it. Just by doing that, a third of them will go, well, gee, no one's ever talked to me like this, Jennifer. I know you said this isn't a sales call, but what do I need to do to get you to bid for me? Right? That's a win. Not all of them, not even half of them, but more than zero, I can promise you, probably closer to a quarter, a third of them are just going to ask you to bid. The second thing that's going to happen after you have that, now that you're the smartest person in the city on those specific people first, second, you've already gotten your first two or three bids. Third, you're going to go back to all the people that didn't ask you to bid and go, hey, I conducted a survey and I know what's important to you guys. Would you be interested in that data? And I promise you, people go, yeah, I want to know what people like, what do they don't like? Am I crazy or are my stresses the same as everybody else? I promise you they're going to be interested in that data. So when you go in to give them that data, now it's still not a sales pitch. You're just giving that data, but you can go. And from that data, because I've heard that your pains are A, B, and C, and then you point out their pains, we've created a cleaning company to specifically only address those pains. And here's how we're going to do that. Is that something you'd be interested in? Now you're going to get 80% uptake. And yeah, of course I'm interested in that, because who is it that told you what they wanted? And you just came back and said, well, we're going to create this thing that's A, B, and C. And guess what? A, B, and C is magically exactly what they want. Do you see how that's a really compelling offer?
Oh, absolutely. That's awesome.
Okay, so again, not easy, lots of work, but if you put in the work and nobody else does, this is, you'll be that person in the niche where people are just like, we don't even compete. If it's a medical thing, we're not even interested because Jennifer already knows them and they're best friends and we're not even going to play in that market, and you can just own that market. So that's one way. The second way is lunch and learns. I'm a huge fan of lunch and learns. You find out a little bit of what's interesting to them. You put together a little bit of content that would help, and right, it might be how to get less complaints, how to make your boss happy, how to get more customers, how to keep OSHA out of your door, whatever. I have no idea, but you're going to find that out. You do a lunch and learn. You do a quick 10 or 15 minute presentation. You spend $200 on feeding, maybe $300 on feeding a dozen of these guys lunch at a decent restaurant. You do a quick presentation. You let them all talk. You video them coming in and out, talking about you and your company. You'll get a ton of information right there in one lunch and learn. And also you'll probably get two or three bids from that. And you get in what the value add for them is: A, a free lunch,
wow.
B, this content, and C, they get to network with one another, right? In a place they've never had that opportunity to talk with their peers. You're going to create that for them.
Okay.
Cool. Again, not a lot, no small amount of work, but that's how it works. The third way that you can do this is survey. You can go to SurveyMonkey. And you can either get their email one by one. You can buy an email list. Again, if you buy an email list, you're kind of maybe spammy, but you're just asking for a survey. You're not selling anything. And just put together a quick survey in terms of all those things. What keeps you up? What's your title? What keeps you up at night? What one thing could we fix to make your life wonderful? So those are three ways that you can do it. One, ask them face-to-face. Two, have a lunch and learn. Three, have a survey. And of course, you can combine all those together. You could put the survey in the lunch and learn and the one-on-ones. You could use the one-on-ones to get them to lunch and learn. You could use the lunch and learn to turn to the one-on-ones. But there's a lot of synergy between all three of those together. You do some combination. I promise you will know what those people are called and how to sell to them.
Wow.
I know I went fast.
Wow,
go ahead.
No, I understand everything you're saying, and it just goes way above and beyond, I guess, my thinking. Even when I was asking the question, mine was so kind of narrow-minded and just this whole, because cold calling, and then who is this person we want to send our mailer to, and just kind of that bland, it works, but certainly doesn't work, I think, as effective in being as fast as gaining the market share is the stuff that you're talking about, which I didn't even think about. And just so you know, what you call boring, I actually find kind of interesting.
Oh,
so
then
I don't
the
mind doing
person.
Stuff like that. I'd rather get inside my customer's head. It makes it a lot more fun and interesting for me in a sales standpoint than just, did you get my information packet? Great.
Right. And they're like, yeah, I got it, but I wasn't interested. But so the cool thing is now it becomes a game. So first of all, when you said the marketing still works, sometimes it does. A lot of times it doesn't. And so many people come to me and go, I tried direct mail. It doesn't work. Wrong. There are people making millions, hundreds of millions of dollars today in direct mail. What you tried was sending a bad message to the wrong person, and that didn't work. Guess what? You can send a bad message to the wrong person via direct mail, via email. You can write it in the sky. You can cold call them. You can send them a text or a Western Union carrier pigeon. It will never work. So stop focusing on direct mail doesn't work. No, bad messaging to the wrong person doesn't work. I promise you, good messaging to the right person always works. So and on top of being a lot more fun, it is a lot more profitable because it'll save you a lot more money. But also, now you can spend a lot more on client acquisition, because if your competition's trying to figure this stuff out and they're spending a dollar to get 80 cents in revenue and they quit and give up, but you're spending a dollar to get $2 in revenue, how many dollars can you spend if you get $2 back, right? Your advertising budget at that point is unlimited. So this is really the key. So it's a lot of work, but like this one thing enables you to really just own that market, because when you can spend $5,000 a month on client attraction, and that's profitable for you, and your competitors can spend $500 a month and it's not profitable for them, they have no chance.
Sure.
Okay. Woo. So I think, I think there's something else I was going to say, but I can't remember. So does that cover your answer in terms of how to, and then of course the how to market them is, well, you use that data to send the right message to the right people, but don't start sending any message until you know the people. And once you know the people, then you can get the right message.
Right. Yeah. Because I mean, the initial, problem is, well, you call and you get the secretary and, they're not even willing to give you the name of the facilities manager, or they don't know. So it's part of it is really who is, you know, the administrative, you know, person at that building. And I guess probably just more online research to really find out who it is.
Well, and it depends on the offer. If you call the secretary and you're perceived as a salesperson, you will not get that information. But if you call the secretary and you're like, hey, I'm looking to put together a lunch and learn, and I want to buy a lunch for a dozen of the local managers of a medical facility, who would I talk to at your place? Well, now you're the person buying free lunch. That person's a lot more likely to get that information.
Right.
Does that make sense? So, yeah, you don't call and say, what you call and say is, hey, this is Jennifer with, God bless it, Advantage Cleaning Services. Who's in charge of your cleaning, you know, making the decision for your janitorial contract? What they hear is, hi, I'm a salesperson, and if you turn me on to who I asked for, you're going to piss them off. Don't, please don't do that. That's what they hear. If you call and say, hey, this is Jennifer Buckley. I'm putting together a lunch and learn. We're going to have a dozen people at Mastro's or Houston's or whatever restaurant in your area people are going to dig. For the facilities managers, folks, and I wasn't sure, A, if you guys qualified, B, who I talked to. Can you throw a girl a bone here? They're going to hear, oh, free lunch. Bob's going to be very interested. He's going to love me if I give him this call, and you'll get that. So always think of your customer, and when you're trying to get that information, your customer's that door, gatekeeper, right? So instead of talking about you, I'm Jennifer, and I'm with this, and we could do that, and we could, they're not interested. Think about her. Her thing is, if I put this call through, will I get rewarded or slapped? Make sure she feels I'm going to get rewarded if I put this call through. Does that make sense?
Yeah, gold. Perfect. I love it.
Cool. Well, we are way over time because I am terrible at my job and just love hearing myself talk. Enough of me. Let's have you. We're going to go to the lightning round. I'm going to ask three quick questions. Shut up for a change. And you are going to give three amazing answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Best piece of advice that I've ever received was really from a mentor I had a while back who had actually been in the business for about 50 years in the industry. And he said this, he said, our company is not in the cleaning business. We are in the customer satisfaction business. And he told me to start thinking that way. And since we've started thinking that way, and I know this will work for other people out there, is you're really starting to gear everything toward an experience with your customer and not just a service or a product. Because that's allowed us to have better retention, referrals, and of course, make more money.
There's no question people that clean for money are poor. People that provide experiences and solve pain make money, whether you're Walt Disney or your cleaning company. True, true, and true. Excellent answer. Question number two, what's the biggest mistake that you've made in the cleaning business that maybe we can save some of the listeners from?
So the biggest mistake, and I know that tons of listeners are going through this issue, and it really, for me, really has been the biggest mistake, and that's been staying in the field way too long, like literally physically cleaning myself and thinking more like an employee and working in my business. As opposed to sticking to my guns and staying out of the field and working on my business as a real, you know, executive business owner.
Preach, preach, and preach. That was so well said. Couldn't have said it better myself. Last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice today before their head hits the pillow, either for their business or personally, but just one easily, quickly implementable idea that they can use now?
Okay, so what they need to do is they need to start developing their proposal process, make it a robust packet of information loaded with value. Do not think of it as a bid. Never think bid and never say bid. This is where I gotta joust you a little bit, Mike, because that would just be like writing down a number on a fancy napkin, and anybody can do that. We have a much higher close rate in our company by looking at it as a partnership with your customer or your prospect, and not just a benchmark for the temperature of the market. It keeps you away from the price shoppers. So you need to start making presentations for proposals as opposed to a bid, which usually just implies purchasing at the lowest price. So the time is now to start offering proposals, not bids.
Goodness, if you were here with me and not across the country, I would be totally inappropriate and give you a massive hug right in front of God and the listeners and everybody. That was so well said. I couldn't agree more. I'm going to put a link to a couple of things we've talked about how to put together a proposal package. Thank you for the clarification. I've never thought about that bid being a bad word, but it really is, because if you give a bid,
go ahead. listeners out there who are just going after government, I understand that might not be the best argument for you folks, but all of the others who really aren't going for that lowest bidder, your business dynamic is something different, then you need to think of it as a proposal and a partnership.
Yeah, who doesn't want a good proposal or a good partnership, but a bid? You're right. Well, bid, just give me the numbers and I'll pick the lowest one. What else is it? It's a bid. You may have won the 2016 Lightning Round Answer of the Year. Jennifer, thank you for joining us. Thank you for putting up with me. Thank you for sharing your passion and all your wisdom. I appreciate you. I know that Cleaning Nation got a ton of value out of this show. When you want to check out Jennifer's show notes page and, of course, get everything you need, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.